Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." This is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. And I want to welcome you to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. It is a blessing to be here. This is Thanksgiving week, and we hope you're having a good week or have had a good week so far. And the weather outside has been a little wintry, and I was telling when we came into the studio just a few minutes ago, this morning our power was off, and I read my Bible to an oil lamp. I said it felt like Abraham Lincoln sitting there trying to read my Bible. But anyway, we're thankful to be here today. I want to say good morning to Noah. Noah, how are you today?
I'm good. It's good to be here this morning. And we do want to say welcome to all our listeners, those who are listening in right here on AM 1450 WATA, those who are listening in on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia, and also those who listen in on KPGT 89.1 FM, The Truth, out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate all of our listeners, and it's a blessing to be able to come this way. I do want to take just a moment, if you do not have a church home, to invite you out to Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We're located 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. That is just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. And we have a church website, mountlebanonbc.org. And on that you can find our address, church phone number, anything about the church you'd like to know. But we'd love for you to come and be with us. I do want to quickly mention also, and I mentioned this last week, I wrote a book last year, and the name of it is Today's Proverb. It is a daily devotional book. It's called Today's Proverb, A Year of Godly Wisdom. Christmas is coming up, and this would make a wonderful gift. And we have those available for a love gift towards the radio ministry of $18 if we mail it to you. That covers shipping, handling, the price of the book, and everything. And so that would be a love gift just to Mount Lebanon Baptist Church radio ministry. And if you just want to call, we'll get that in the mail to you, work out whatever we need to. Our church phone number we'll give at the end, but I'll go ahead and give it. It's 828-963-4596. So 828-963-4596. And if you're interested in the devotional book, Today's Proverb, one devotion for every day of the year. New Year will be here before we know it. My, how time flies. Well, we've been studying signs of the times, and we're going to get right back into that today. We took a week off last week, and we talked about the origins of Thanksgiving, the pilgrims, and took just a little time to deal with that. But we've been studying signs of the times. Pardon me. The point, why study something like this? The point of it would be, as we could think about some verses in the Bible, talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. First John says, "And every man that hath this hope within him purifieth himself even as he is pure." And the Lord Jesus said in the Gospels, "When ye see these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh." That would be the point of Bible prophecy, that we might see the truths from the Word of God and prepare in our hearts for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope and pray that you know the Lord Jesus Christ on a personal level today. You know him as your Savior, your Redeemer. You have a relationship. You could say, as Nicodemus, "Come before the Lord." And Jesus said, "Ye must be born again." Well, what does that mean? Nicodemus learned what that meant, and that is to have new life by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that would be the point of studying these signs of the time. So far, we've seen 6 out of 10. We have 10 that we're going to be looking at, and our list comes from a book, and I've mentioned this several times before, but just sort of give you a quick update or summary of where we are. The book is called Dispensational Truth. It's by a pastor called Clarence Larkin. It was copyrighted in 1918. But if you read, I was reading this morning at the front of the book, it said this book was compiled over a time period of 30 years. So we go from 1918 back a 30-year ministry. We're going to get into the late 1800s there. And so I thought, as I was studying this book, actually, or reading some things in it and found this, it's the last chapter in the book, I thought to myself how interesting it would be to look at these 10 signs of the times. Here we are 100 years removed from when these words were penned down in this book. Here's a Bible teacher, and he says in the last days there's going to be these signs of the times. These are based upon the Bible, and I thought it'd be interesting to study those out and just see, are we seeing these signs, or is it a long ways off? Is it missed the mark so far it doesn't even apply? Well, so far, every one of them hits the mark. Well, that's because it's from the Word of God. And so I'm just going to quickly go through the first six that we've looked at, just sort of give a quick summary. We said, first of all, or Mr. Larkin says, first of all, there's postmillennial scoffers. Postmillennial scoffers, that's just what he was talking about. Those who would mock the Lord's return. Those who would say, I've heard that all my life. Nothing has changed. Everything remains the same. And that's just fairy tale business. Well, 2 Peter 3:3 and 4 says, there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? So the Bible prophesied hundreds and hundreds of years ago that in the last days there would be those that would scoff, that would mock about the coming of the Lord. We pointed that out, first of all. Second of all, we talked about the subject of apostasy. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 3, verse number 1 gives us the context, the setting that we find that in, and it's the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what verse 1 says. Verse number 3 says, that day, talking about the coming of the Lord, that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. That falling away is where we get our word apostasy from, to apostatize, to defect from the truth. And when we taught on that here on the radio broadcast, we talked about the frequency and the fervency of apostasy in the last days. Surely we have already seen that falling away, and we're living on the other side of that falling away. There's a great falling away in this day and time. We see that sign has already come to pass. Then the third one is like it. It comes from 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. I'm just going to read part of that verse. It says, but there are false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. There's many false teachers. We are not going to go all back through that, but we could give many, many examples and already have. Number four, we talked about spiritualism, demonism. I remember this because we were right around the week of Halloween. That's when we came to spiritualism. That is a sign of the last days. All things dark, demonic, occultic are accepted. And there's a huge rise in our society, in our culture, not just in America, but around the world. We gave the example of the movie The Exorcist, and how that was just a gigantic leap into the dark things of demon possession. And now to see something along those same lines, movies are coming out on a regular basis, television shows, occultic video games, in the music industry, halftime at the Super Bowl show. I mean, you just see these. If you ever once begin to recognize occult symbolism, you'd be amazed how many places in our society these symbols And occultism, Satanism, thrives on symbols and signs. And these symbols and signs are in our society all round about us. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Now the Spirit," capital S, talking about the Holy Spirit, "the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." These seducing spirits, these are demonic spirits, these are imposter spirits, is what that's talking about. We would say demons. That's a word, common English word we associate with that. Well, the Bible said in the last days there would be a rise of spiritualism, demonism. Number five, we talked about perilous times. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1 says, "This know also," and I have underlined that little word "know." "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." Perilous times, weakening times, dangerous times. We talked about this, and actually all of 2 Timothy chapter number 3, there's a long list of what these perilous times are going to be like, but they're definitely dangerous times, selfish times, greedy times. It says men will be unthankful, unholy, is what the Bible says. One thing I thought of as I was studying this again, and I'm sure that maybe you've not heard, or maybe you have, but this, I don't know if you'd call it a craze. I don't know if you'd call it what is, I just don't know what you would call it, but it's evil. But in our society, this knockout game, and these gangs of youth, and I've heard about it in several different states. There's been articles about it in the newspaper. And these young people, they have this game they're playing, and they'll just be walking down the street, and a complete, total stranger, the game is to try to knock them out with one punch. And it's been videoed. They'll post these things on the internet. It's been caught by security cameras, and there's articles about police departments all over the place being on the lookout for things like this. I mean, what kind of society, what does that say about us, that this would be entertainment, this would be how young people amuse themselves? I am telling you, we are living in perilous, dangerous times. And so we talked about that. Last time, we talked about the sixth thing is heaped up treasure. Mr. Larkin talked about the last days, there will be heaped up treasure. James chapter 5 actually is the passage of scripture we taught out of. And it says in the last part of verse number 3, it says, "Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days." Talking about the rich men. "Go to you rich men, howl and weep, for your miseries that shall come upon you, and how that they have heaped treasure together for the last days." Do you know the greatest heist in all of history is happening before our very eyes? And that is the stealing of all the money in the world. I have heard for years preachers preach, Bible teachers teach on the subject of there will be a cashless society. But I think for several years, people thought, well, that just means you'll have to have a credit card, you'll have to have a chip in your hand or something like that. But I believe it means even more than that. And the reason they say that is because the Bible teaches in the book of Revelation that the Antichrist, no man will buy or sell except they have the mark of the beast. But I believe it goes beyond just a cashless. I believe it means there will be no cash. We're headed towards a time. I've read articles where those that are in places of authority and talk about economy, where they basically talk about giving mankind an allowance. Here's what you have to live on. You don't have cash. You just have these, we might say, vouchers. You might have so much in your account, and that is your living for a month or for a specified period of time. We see these things coming to pass. It's not that there's no money, but those that have money are very interested in getting more money, How much does it take to satisfy a rich man? One more dollar. I've heard that before. Well, we've got to go on. About half our time is gone, but today we want to look at the seventh sign, and that is the Laodicean church. Mr. Larkin says the appearance of the Laodicean church. Now, that is referring to the seventh church. There are seven churches that are mentioned in Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter number 3. And I'm just going to quickly read what Mr. Larkin said about a Laodicean church, sign number 7. He said, in the message to the church of Laodicea, we have a description of the last stage of the professing church on earth. It is described as neither hot nor cold, but nauseatingly lukewarm, so that Christ says he will spew it out of his mouth. It boastingly will claim to be rich and increase with goods, and to have need of nothing, not even of Christ, for he will be excluded and will have to knock for admittance, and it will be ignorant of its true condition, that it is wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Unspeakably sad it is that this is the condition to a large extent of the professing church today. And in that little paragraph by Mr. Larkin, he quoted much of exactly what it says in Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 22 about the Laodicean church. And you have to keep in mind, this is important to remember, this was written almost 100 years ago. And he said, sadly, this is the state of the church today. Yesterday, I was listening to the Family Altar Program, and that is a radio broadcast by the late evangelist Lester Roloff. I really enjoy the ministry of Brother Roloff, even though he went to be with the Lord in the mid-1980s. I'm not exactly what year it was, but at least going on, or maybe even a little bit longer than 25 years ago, Brother Lester Roloff was killed in an airplane accident. And so his ministry, he's been gone off the scene for at least, I'm just going to round it off and say 25 years. Well, I was listening to that radio program yesterday, and he was quoting another pastor who said this. He said, the best we have in the church today would have been considered backslid 25 years ago. And I thought, boy, how interesting that is. He said that 25 years ago. So from right now, we're going back 50 years from the individual that said that. And I believe there's a lot of truth in that statement. The best we have in the church today would have been considered backslid 25 years ago. When I first started preaching, and the Lord called me to preach in 1990, so I'm 23, 24 years, going on 24 years in the ministry. When I first started preaching, I really emphasized the Philadelphian church age. And I don't have time to explain all of this, but many of our listeners, you know, the Philadelphian church in Revelation chapter number 3, that was a good church. The Lord said nothing derogatory about that church. They believed the Bible. They believed in missions. They were small and had little strength, but the Lord had given them an open door. It's the church of revival. It's the church of believing the Bible. And 100 years ago, in our nation, there was a time of revival. 150 years ago, 200 years ago, a great time of revival, church growth, souls being saved, the ministry of many a great evangelist, where thousands and even millions, it's said during the ministry of D.L. Moody, that a million people came to know the Lord. And so when I first started preaching, and I had read and studied about the great revivals of the past, oh, how I would long to see the Lord move in such a way as that. And I preached at that time that we were at the end of the Philadelphian church age. And it didn't take me long, though, preaching, pastoring, that I begin to see we're not at the end of the Philadelphian church age. We're all the way full-blown into the Laodicean church age, that last state of the church, that state of decline, that state of deterioration before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is where we are today. We are in the Laodicean church age. Now, there are still here and there Philadelphian believers. What I mean by that, people that still believe the Bible. They desire the old paths. Like Jeremiah said, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where's the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. There's still people that want to worship God in the beauty of holiness. And they believe the Bible, and they have a desire for revival and missions and things that are important unto the Lord. So there are still some Philadelphian church age people out there. But by and large, the church today is Laodicean in its attitude, in its worship, in its motives, in its operation, everything about it. I've got a great book about evangelism. It's probably near 100 years old, at least 75, 80 years old, by James Stewart. And he's got a chapter in there on Hollywood evangelism. And it talks about when churches, instead of having revival and announcing, come hear about our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that churches started advertising, come hear this group sing. Come hear this great evangelist that everybody knows. And this shift towards making it about a person instead of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We live in a day and a time of a Bible version of the month mentality. People are not settled on the Bible being the Word of God. They will go out here and just get what they think. And this Bible version, they'll come out a new version about every year around Christmas. That's a good time to make a bunch of money on somebody that doesn't know any better. I'm glad we have the Word of God, but a lot of people, they don't believe we have the Word of God. They have this version, that version, 10 versions. It doesn't matter to them. Well, that's another subject altogether. There's music in the church that is no longer sacred. It's no longer spiritual, but it's carnal and it's worldly. I preached a message last Sunday night on the subject of wine. What does the Bible say about drinking wine? You'd be amazed down through the years how many people have come to me that claim to know the Lord, claim to be saved, yet they don't see anything wrong with drinking alcohol. They don't see anything wrong with drinking wine. Once upon a time, they'd be disciplined right out of the church. Everybody, amen. God's people shouldn't be drinking alcohol. Today, a lot of people in church see nothing wrong with it. We are in the Laodicean church age. They said, we're rich. We're increased with goods. We don't need anything. We have need of nothing. Now, let me say this. As goes the church, so goes society. Laodicean means this, rights of the people. They, instead of following the Lord, they got together and said, we're going to do what we want to do. We're going to vote on this thing. We're going to run the church. It's our church. We're going to hire a preacher. As the church goes that way, society has gone that way. And Laodicean is democracy in action, the rights of the people, what we want. Now, democracy, and many people don't understand this, but democracy is actually not a good thing. Democracy, real democracy, always filters into, or it becomes mobocracy, majority rule. All democracies fail miserably. Maybe you've heard of what Harry Reid did last week in the Senate when they employed this nuclear option that's been part of our government for over 200 years that majority does not rule. You have to have more than a majority. You have to work together with people inside the government in order to get things done. It was designed that way so that there would be a system of checks and balances in our government, so there would be a separation of powers to ensure that we are ruled by law, not by passion, not by majority, so that it would ensure that we would follow our Constitution. But, you know, all those things are out the door a long time ago. This makes it, I read an article today that said if it could be made worse, talking about the situation of our government, it has been made worse. And I agree wholeheartedly with that, 100%. But in America, we were not designed to be a democracy, but a republic. People used to understand this. Now, very few do. But democracy goes right along with that Laodicean, rights of the people. That's what that means. I want to read something to you by H.L. Mencken. H.L. Mencken was a journalist. He was born in 1880. He died in 1956. He was a journalist, a satirist, a critic, and a Democrat. He was aware of what would eventually happen if the Republic of the United States of America ever became a true democracy. Mencken wrote this editorial while he was working for the Baltimore Evening Sun, and it appeared in the July 26, 1920 edition of the Baltimore Evening Sun. Here's what H.L. Mencken said about democracy, our republic becoming a democracy. Now listen, he said, as democracy is perfected, the office of the president represents more and more closely the inner soul of the people. On some great and glorious day, now he is being sarcastic in saying this, on some great and glorious day, the plain folks of the land will reach their heart's desire at last, and the White House will be occupied by a downright fool and complete narcissistic moron. H.L. Mencken wrote that July 26, 1920, and I say today what he has written has certainly come to pass in our society. We're seeing the fruits of democracy. Mob rule in many, many aspects of our society. There are people that are saying, hey, we're going down the wrong road here, but we're just keeping on trucking on down the wrong road. Well, democracy, mobocracy ruins a nation. You know, a narcissist, that goes back into Greek mythology. Narcissus was a youth who became so enamored with his reflection in the water that he couldn't draw himself away from it, and he just looked at himself and looked at himself until he pined away to nothing and he died. We have a lot of narcissistic traits in our government and especially in our leadership, and I believe he's right when he says even the White House will be occupied by a narcissist. Well, the Laodicean church that society was prophesied of in Proverbs chapter number 30. I was going to get over there today and deal with a few things out of Proverbs chapter number 30. But that generation over there, said there is a generation. Oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. They're full of pride, full of self. Doesn't matter if their actions destroy churches, families, communities, or schools, or the country, they're never, never satisfied. Well, time is quickly come and gone today. We do appreciate you listening in. We hope you are seeing along with us the signs of the times and that you know the Lord Jesus personally. Noah's going to give the contact information.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. It's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's mtlebanonbc.org.